My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
All right, well, let's start with Tiktaalik. He said they made accurate predictions. Well, when did Tiktaalik live? They lived 375 million years ago, so that's when they walked out of the sea. But then there's another one, four-legged creature forces evolution rethink. Because remember that was 375 million? Well, this one is, this one is 397 million.
Well, Brian, you just argued that there was a transition, or there was a tetrapodomorph 380 million years ago in the past.
Well, that was Tiktaalik when that was there, but there was they found footprints at 397 million according to their timeline.
Okay, so you acknowledge that 397 million years ago there were living organisms on the planet?
No, I'm acknowledging that there's problems with the dateline that you guys have. That Tiktaalik wasn't there when it wasn't as precise as you made it out to be.
I don't understand. How are you saying that there was a fossil almost 400 million years ago, therefore the Earth is only 6,000 years old? How does that make any sense?
Well, you can ask me that during your Q&A.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're right. So I just would like to, my mistake on that.
Yeah, we'll get that.
I just think that that's a ridiculous hypocrisy to appeal to 400 million years to say that, like to appeal to the secular science as if it disproves itself is really silly to me.
Okay, Eric, do you have a spirit or are you just matter and energy?
I don't think I have a spirit. I think I have a conscience. I don't necessarily know if that consciousness or whatever is reducible merely to matter, but I suspect that it probably is.
Okay, where did people come from?
My parents had sex. That's where I came from.
And people in general, where did the human race, humans come from?
Earth, Africa specifically.
But what was their ancestor? What did
Homo heidelbergensis.
And where did Heidelberg come from?
Homo erectus.
And where did that come from?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
I think it's probably known, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, well, so there's none, you don't. Okay, let's jump to what did the first life come from?
Earth. Probably near hydrothermal vents, that's what I would guess.
And where did Earth come from?
Well, Earth exists in the universe. To say where is something in the universe doesn't really make any sense.
Where did it come from? Where did it come from? How did the Earth originate?
So the nebular hypothesis is pretty well tested. We actually have photos of protoplanetary disks.
What was the matter? Where did the matter for the Earth come from?
So instead of asking me, so you're arguing in bad faith because you didn't want to know where people came from. You're just trying to backtrack to why does the universe exist or where did it come from?
No, I don't want to misrepresent your position. I want to make sure I have it right. So where did the matter for the Earth come from?
It exists in the universe.
And where did it start?
The universe?
Yeah.
Where? To say where is the universe makes no sense.
Where did the matter from the universe come from?
We have no idea if it came from anywhere. To posit that the universe was created is an unfound,
What did the Big Bang make?
It didn't make anything. The Big Bang is a description of the universe. The universe is expanding. The Big Bang is not an account of where the universe came from. It's a description of what the universe does.
But where did the matter come from? Did the Big Bang make hydrogen and helium?
Hydrogen and helium came out as a consequence of the rapid expansion of the universe. But to say that it came from the Big Bang, again, is not an appropriate statement. The Big Bang doesn't tell us that the universe was created. We don't know if the universe is created. It may be eternal.
I'm asking about the matter. Do you think hydrogen and helium from the Big Bang turned into people?
That's really a kind of a ridiculous straw man. Like my cat eats cat food and that food, she digests it and it becomes part of her body because that's how organisms work. But to say my cat came from cat food is pretty silly. It's a weird kind of compositional fallacy. But I do believe in stellar nucleosynthesis. I don't know how somebody could doubt stellar nucleosynthesis.
Okay, so
it's well established.
Do you think we came from stardust? Do you think people?
I think that's where
stardust.
Elements heavier than hydrogen, for the most part, come from.
Okay,
is rigorously confirmed by the scientific method.
Okay. So what's the best scientific evidence that hydrogen and helium turn into people, or stardust turns into people? Is that your position that
you're skipping an insane number of steps.
I want to make sure I got it right. Because they're stardust, therefore it turns into people. Is that your position?
Brian, this is such a ridiculous straw man. Have you ever written a book?
Okay, you're not going to answer that one. Okay,
no,
do you think
can think it's unfair that I asked a question, but
is
like,
this a fact? Are we only 1.6% different from chimps?
Genetically, yes.
Yes. Is that a fact? Okay, which genome is bigger, the chimps or humans?
Which one is bigger? I don't know off the top of my head.
If one was 6% bigger, would that mean we're 1.6% different?
No, not necessarily. The way you compare genomes is really complicated.
Yeah, here. It's like
the genetic paragraph.
This is a complete non-starter because we're still more. Even if you change the metrics, the measurements by determining how similar our genomes are, we're still more closely related to the chimps than anything else. The nested hierarchies of relatedness between organisms is conserved even when you change how you compare them, which is only evidence of evolution.
Okay, because to me it looks like they manipulated the data. They cut out 1.3 billion to get that number. Do you think Lucy walked upright?
Well, yeah, we know that.
Okay, well, did you know that they cut her hip to turn it from a chimp into a human?
No, God, not
okay,
this.
Here we go.
The thing about Lucy being a chimpanzee, this is so ridiculous.
To flare out like a chimp's.
When we find these fossils, they're broken into a lot of pieces and they get pieced together. And you can say that the paleontologists are incompetent, but I mean, whatever. But Lucy, it's not predicated just on the hip. There have been anatomical studies of Lucy's foramen magnum and of her femur, and we've compared the location of her foramen magnum versus humans, Homo sapiens, versus chimpanzees. And guess what? Lucy's is exactly in between us and them. Well, that's what you would expect in a transitional form. There are really specific details about the femur bone. There are particular grooves and notches that upright walking primates like us have that chimpanzees don't have because of how quadrupedal there are. And Lucy has what we have. So this, you can claim conspiracy about the hip bone, but you're just completely ignoring all of the other evidence.
Yeah, there is. There's a whole bunch of fraud that Dr. Carl Werner has found, and he's found 150 cases of fraud in this book, and the Lucy's hip, but we'll move on. And also the knee was a fraud too. Okay, let's see.
The what was a fraud?
The knee. Okay, how about this? Do you think this is accurate representation, embryology, that birds, bunnies, and people live, they've got the same, they look the same? Do you think that's a fact?
Yeah, we have gill arches early in our development, but we don't have gills as fully formed adults.
Well, those drawings look real close to Haeckel's drawings, which were frauds 100 years ago. Do they look pretty similar? But then that's what they actually look like. Did you know that those were frauds, you know, that they were frauds 100 years ago? Did you know that?
He was convicted of
fraud by his own university, and they're still in our textbooks. Are you okay with that?
Can I talk?
Yeah.
Haeckel was immediately dismissed by.
I know.
I can't remember what his name was, but by an evolutionary biologist.
Right.
That,
but should those pictures be in our textbooks?
Yeah. There's no problem with them because if you go back, you have to be denying that we have gill arches early in development. which is just, I don't know why you would say that.
You think those things look the same?
Brian,
you think those aren't accurate?
Brian, you can see the gill arches on the human embryo in that.
I'm not talking about the gill arches.
Yes, we are, because that's what Haeckel's drawings depict.
No, Haeckel,
you have to take artistic license to make a representation of something, and his cartoons aren't photographs. Like, we get that. And he read into them what he wanted to see. What Haeckel specifically believed, which is stupid and false, is that we literally go through a reptilian stage. That's not true, but it is true that we do resemble other vertebrates early in development.
My question, those images were different than what he drew, but let's move on. Do you think the eyes are wired backwards? Is this a fact? Their science hasn't been able to come up with a hypothesis to why our retinas are set up backwards. Do you agree with that?
The photoreceptors are in the back of the retina, whereas mollusks, like
squids. I know
squids,
that. Is there a reason?
That's wired backwards. Yeah.
You think that? So there's no reason for that, right? Is that what you're saying?
There are random quirks of biology, like our recurrent laryngeal nerve that goes down to the heart.
No. This is why it's the Smithsonian. Are you aware that the Smithsonian says this is why they're wired? It's no mistake, is what they say. The glial cells did indeed create columns of concentrated light. And Medical Express says they're like fiber optic cables. And its optimization is just that color vision during the day is enhanced while nighttime vision suffers very little. So there's reasons for that. So do you think that this is accurate? They're ignoring those reasons. Do you think that's a good thing to do?
I don't know what you're accusing them of. That the eyes we have are capable of working is not an endorsement of creation.
They're not backwards. Okay, let's move on.
No, they literally are backwards compared to a mollusk. Retina, they have a compound eye, and their photoreceptors are on the inside of the retina.
I understand that, but there's reasons for it. It turns it into fiber optics. That's what it says.
Yeah,
evolution
selects that which is
evolution
survival.
Can select. Okay, so is it backwards or not?
Yes.
Okay, well then you deny the Smithsonian. Okay, do you think life can start in water?
Life can start in water? I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay, this is chemicals sloshing together. We're constantly bumping into each other and combining into new chemistry. Over millions of years, that process can lead to living organisms. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, we don't have any evidence that life was produced non-naturally on Earth.
You know, we're talking about the question is, can life start in water? That's my question to you, Eric.
All living organisms are mostly water. Like the idea.
I'm not asking that. Can life start in water?
I don't see any problem with that. Again, we don't have any evidence.
What is hydrolysis?
Hydrolysis is the splitting of molecules by water, I believe.
Exactly. And here's a PhD in chemistry saying that life can't begin in water because water breaks apart the molecules faster than they get put together. Did you know no one knows how the first cell came about? Did you know that?
We have low resolution answers, but we don't know exactly.
Yeah, that's right. They can't
and you don't
do
know
that.
How God did anything, so I don't know what
that's
kind
right.
of God you
That's right. I believe in
a
miracle maker, but you don't. Okay, here's this tree of life. Do you think that we're related to snakes, Eric?
We share genes with snakes. That's what it means to be related.
All right. Which genome is bigger, the snakes or humans?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, do you think we're related to ferns? Actually, the humans are bigger than the snakes by about a billion.
Okay.
Do you think we're related to ferns?
We share genes with them, and yes, there is a fern with 23,000 chromosomes. That's not a problem.
Okay, and are we related to bacteria?
We share genes with them. That's what it means to be related to something.
Okay. It's just yes or no would be fine. What inside that circle, what is the evidence that supports what's inside that circle?
The fact that we share genes with them. That's what it means to be related to something.
Okay, so they have genetic evidence that makes this tree. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, long before we knew anything about genetics, it was predicted that there would be a hereditary molecule.
All right.
And then we found it. And if there were no correlations between organisms, then evolution would have been falsified.
Okay, I'd like you to divide those six animals into two groups, the most closely related. You got the horse, cow, sea snake, sea urchin, sheep, and silkworm. If you were to divide those into two groups based on their most common ancestor or relative, however you want to do it, just divide them into the two groups that should show up on that tree.
I believe the cow and the sheep would be most closely related because they're even-toed ungulates. Okay. Then the horse would be next. It's an odd-toe ungulate. Then okay. the sea snake because it's a vertebrate. And then echinoderm versus silkworm. That one's tricky, but I think the silkworm would be the next most closely related. And then the sea urchin, because it's an echinoderm, I think would be at the end.
Just divide them into two groups. However you do it, just give me two groups of names.
Oh, I was doing like an entire tree.
I know, just two groups, the ones that are most closely related.
Yeah, so vertebrates on top, cow, horse, snake, sheep, and then the non-vertebrates.
So kind of like that? Is that what you would do?
No, snakes have bones, so snakes would go to the top.
Snakes would go to the top, and then the sea urchins and the silkworms on the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you would be wrong, because the correct answer is the silkworm, sea urchin, and the horse share the common ancestor on that gene, and the sea snake, sheep, and cow, they share it also. You can read about this in the Smithsonian. A quarter of the cow genome came from snakes. If you draw out the bovine's family tree, it looks like you've entered a bizarre parallel universe where cows are more closely related to snakes than elephants. Okay, has collagen been found in dinosaur bones?
Yeah, tiny fragments of it.
Okay, how long can collagen last? Thousands, millions, or billions?
Yeah, this is hilarious. You guys say it can't last millions of years, but you don't think that the universe even is that old, so you can't make that claim.
Eric, A, B, or C, thousands, millions, or billions?
It's unknown precisely.
Oh, it is known. Collagen survival rate research guide. They've got it at between 0.2 and 0.7 million. This is not
lasting. We haven't had that much time, so you don't know that. It can't last a million years, but according to you, that much time hasn't passed, so you don't know that.
No, this is what they're saying. The point of it is it can't last millions of years.
How do you know that? Well, not my turn. Sorry.
Yeah, it's what they're saying, and there's other sources that do that also. A blood cell has been found.
From what I understand, I read into this when I wrote my first book.
Yes or no? Just yes or no?
Not everything is as simple as you think it is.
Okay, here we go.
They found impressions of blood vessels and red blood cells, but not the actual cells themselves.
So there won't be any stretchy red blood cells then?
Well, that's different. There are molecular remnants that remain in place from it, but not the thing itself.
Has C14 been found in dinosaur bones?
You can find C14 in anything, including metal, which has no carbon in it, because there's always contamination. This has been experimentally verified.
Okay. So can we test carbon dating?
Yeah.
Or is that falsified? Oh, but it could be carbon dating. Well, they have found dinosaurs. You could go to newgeology.usa.
Yeah, okay, find carbon-14 in metal, which has no carbon in it.
Which dinosaurs turned into birds?
Oh, geez, you really don't know anything about evolution.
Which one of these has which one has bird hips? Stegosaurus or the T-Rex?
How are you like this? This is not how you determine what evolved from what.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking you, which one had bird hips? Was the Stegosaurus or was it the T-Rex?
Now you're switching your question, so you're being completely dishonest again. Neither of those is the ancestor of birds, and anybody who's looked into this for 10 seconds would know that. Okay, so this exposes quite a lot about you, doesn't it?
Well, let's forget that first test. Which dinosaur has bird hips? Is it the Stegosaurus or the T-Rex?
The Ornithischians have more bird-like hips, but the earliest birds have theropod dinosaur hips. Go look at an Archaeopteryx or a Microraptor or whatever else.
Which one? Is it the Stegosaurus or is it the T-Rex?
Yeah, this cute gotcha that you're trying to do here is just you being a completely shady and dishonest human being. It's absolutely repugnant. You changed your question to try to, and then when you realized who you're talking to, you flipped it. So you could, okay, but which one does it look like? Utterly ridiculous. Okay.
Are there modern animals inside there, that circle?
Do fish exist? Yes.
Are they, would you have common ants? Would you have common, would you have animals that are living organisms, current day organisms inside that circle?
Yeah, birds and fish exist, for example. Yeah.
One more question, Brian.
Okay.
What is that supposed to prove?
It's basically, how did life begin?
I can give you a low resolution answer, which is chemistry, because that's how life works today. Or we could go with magic. Which one do we have evidence of? Not magic. If the Bible is true, then the claims that it makes are true. I think that makes perfect sense to anybody. So can you give me any evidence outside of the Bible that the universe is 6,000 years old?
Yeah, you look at the amount of salt in the sea. There's not billions of years of salt in the sea. You look at the erosion rate.
Give me evidence that it's 6,000 years old, not that it's not some other number.
Okay, that is 6,000. That was Dr. Russell Humphreys. He he accurately predicted the magnetic field of Uranus and Neptune in 1984, and we've got magnetic. Actually, the magnetic. The half-life of the...
I didn't ask you if somebody else is wrong. I'm asking you for, how do you get me to 6,000 years?
Their prediction. He accurately predicted the magnetic field of Uranus and Neptune because of... And he used a 6,000-year model. The Big Bangers had it way different.
How does it work? Is there any science behind how magnetic fields form and decay over time according to creationism?
Well, it decays.
How? How does any of this work?
Well, it decays. Yeah, and it decays, and we can't be 20,000 years old because it would be so strong back then, based on the half-life that we have now.
It can't be part of an oscillating trend.
Well, you can imagine it if you want, but we don't have evidence of that.
So you don't have evidence that precludes a longer date in that case.
Well, not without making a rescuing device called a dynamo. You can imagine that, but there's no evidence for that. And a dynamo doesn't work with Uranus anyway because the magnetic core isn't on its axis. And so it's not going to work. Plus, it doesn't have measurable heat, and so it can't happen. And then Mercury's got a magnetic field too, and that's too small to have a dynamo. And so there's a lot of problems with that billions of years thing, but we never get to read about it. Astronomy points to 6,000 years.
Oh,
and Russell Humphreys.
Anyways, I'm gonna reclaim my time here. So.
No, you asked me for evidences, and that's geology.
I'm cross-examining you, so I'm reclaiming my time.
Well, no,
that's
how it
works.
You asked me for evidences, and I gave you one. I can give you three.
You've been rambling,
you
and you haven't given me an example that gets to 6,000 years. Well, so, Brian. What is the range?
The mutation rate. The mutation rate goes back to 6,000 years. It doesn't go back millions or thousands of years.
No, it doesn't. John Sanford, who's a hack, he forces those models. I've read his scientific paper about this that African Americans have defective DNA repair structures, by the way. That's the kind of crap
Ann
you
Gibbons.
Have to say to force a conclusion into a model rather than doing real science. Brian, I need to ask you my next question here. What is the range of acceptable answers for how far should we be able to see, given that the universe is 6,000 years old?
Well, as far as the telescopes can go.
What's the range of acceptable answers?
As far as they can, whatever technology they can look, as far as the technology lets them look.
I'm not asking you about technology. I'm asking you what's the range. I'm not asking you the limits of technology. What is the acceptable range for how far we should be able to see if the universe was created 6,000 years ago?
As far as technology allows us. We can see as far as...
I'm not asking you about technology. So you're just saying the answer is whatever the answer is.
No, we can see as far as the technology allows us to see. That's what I'm saying. There's no range for how far we can see. We can see as far as the range, as far as technology.
You're completely misunderstanding my question. So if I said a car's been driving at 100 miles an hour for 1 hour, the acceptable range of answers is really small.
Well, that's different. Driving and seeing is different.
No, not fundamentally when it comes to this observation. No, not really. So if the universe is only 6,000 years old, what I'm trying to get to is, why do we see for billions of light years? How is that in any way congruous with 6,000-year creation?
God made the stars on 6 days, and then he stretched out the heavens. That's
what evidence of that do you have?
That's why we got the accelerating, our universe is expanding at an accelerating rate, and you have to figure out imagine dark energy doing that.
What evidence that God created the stars and everything the way we see it today 6,000 years ago do you have?
The heavens declare the glory of God.
So you have no evidence.
Of what?
What I just asked you.
About how far we can see?
What evidence do you have that the universe was created billions of light years across 6,000 years ago?
The Bible.
That's what you call evidence.
It's a historical document.
Do you consider this to be science, what you're doing?
Yeah.
In what way is this science?
We look at all the evidence, put it all on the table, and we don't exclude one view. You know, it's like you got the creation model and the Big Bang, or the blind chance model, and the blind chancers have eliminated.
So you accept the Hindu perspective of creation?
I don't know what that is.
Do you accept it?
I don't know. Do they have a book that's historically, archaeologically, and prophetically, and scientifically accurate?
You have that?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. So how is it that we can see billions of light years, given that the universe is only 6,000 years old and light would not have been able to travel billions of years in that amount of time?
Well, you got the same light problem. It's called the horizon problem. How you
answer the question?
Okay. What? How is that? God stretched out the heavens.
What evidence of that do you have?
He stretched them out.
What evidence of that do you have?
It says that several times in the Bible. He stretched it out.
That's not evidence. What evidence of that do you have? How can you explain this scientifically?
I believe he created everything with the word of his mouth.
That's a scientific explanation to you?
Well, there's science that backs it up.
Such as?
Semantics.
What?
Semantics.
What is semantics?
It's the science of visible sound.
What does that have to do with the universe being billions of light years across?
Well, if he can make stuff with his voice, he can do that.
I'm asking for evidence of what? What does this thing about sound waves have to do with the universe being billions of light years across?
It has to do with him creating it. The Bible says that by the word of his testimony, by his word, he made stuff. You know, by his word, the faith through understanding, the worlds that were framed by the word of God. And so by his word, that's what he did. And there's a science called semantics that is kind of validating that.
In what way does it validate that the universe is only 6,000 years old?
Well, not the age, but that sounds can produce things.
So you think that, where on earth do we go from here? Did God use the laws of physics to create the universe?
Well, he didn't use the first law because that's matter from nothing. He made matter from nothing. He didn't do the second law because he organized it real well. And also the law of biogenesis. Well, I guess a life giver did give life. And the rest of it, he probably did with semantics.
I was really just looking for a yes or no. Did God use the laws of physics to create the universe?
I wasn't there.
So you have no idea?
Well, I think semantics can... I think there's evidence that words can create things. I think there's evidence for that.
Could you give one example other than the thing we're discussing here, which is the creation of the universe?
Can I share my screen?
I don't care.
Sound effects matter in surprising ways, a mystery that has recently deepened.
Cymatics is the science of visible sound. Here we have the beautiful song of a humpback whale. Some of this geometry that we're seeing is just exquisitely beautiful.
I've seen a trilobite.
It made a trilobite.
Well, it roughly looks like a trilobite.
Yeah.
It didn't make a trilobite. It may. I mean, that's not a starfish. That's something with five vertices.
Okay. Yeah, but and then it makes these images the sound.
Okay.
So I mean, it's
so did God create the universe by using physical sound waves?
I don't know. He just said, and God said, well, actually, you know, we can take a look at what he said.
So,
okay. Well, basically, it's, you know, over and over again, and God said, and God said, and God said, let the waters bring forth, let the earth bring forth, let the light be in the firmaments. And God said, and God said, it's over and over again. And then we've got evidence that these things, that these vibrations in water look like trilobites and other things that are millions of years old. And I think that that's worthy of consideration.
The clouds look like things. And if I invent a religion that says everything was created by clouds, then all of a sudden I have evidence? No. I'm really trying to get... I can't tell if you're agnostic about this or if you're trying to avoid answering the question. Does God use the laws of physics to perform his miracles?
Hey, I'm not God. I'm
so you have no idea.
I have no idea.
So should we discard the God hypothesis because it violates the laws of physics?
What's that?
Should we discard the God hypothesis from science because it violates the laws of physics?
Well, no, it just defeats the definition of science, not the laws of science. You define God out of the science book. Here's a science book that says it's limited to physical explanations. Here's another one that says our goal is to provide natural explanations. Another one says that it goes on to say that there's significant uncertainty about how life began. However, any questions that remain are about how evolution works, not whether it occurred. So they won't even allow a designer in the classroom.
Because it's not scientific.
Well, that's because you define it. You define science out of it. You say it's a naturalistic process.
You define your creator out of it. You said, yes, you do. You said, okay, are you going to retract your statement that an explanation that requires miracles is not scientific? Because you said that.
Well, that's because you go a little farther in the talk, and I say if you allow for God and the miracles at the beginning, you don't break any laws of physics. And what I'm talking about is changing the definition of science
Does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
What?
How does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
How does a miracle preserve the laws of physics?
Yes. How is a miracle consistent with the laws of physics? A miracle, by definition, is the violation of the laws of physics.
Well, yeah, you tell me. You tell me where the matter came from without violating laws of physics. You tell me how it all got organized without violating laws of physics. You tell me how life
I'm not trying to give you... I'm not... I've never given you an answer of where the universe came from.
I know. It's a perspective of the past, and you need to look into that.
A perspective. It's an admission of something, but it's not a perspective. You're trying to sell people that a miracle happened while saying that your system is scientific, while saying miracles, if you have a miracle in your explanation, it needs to be thrown out and it's not scientific. This is contradictory.
We all believe in miracles, Eric.
No, I don't.
Okay, then where did the matter come from?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it had to.
Is that a miracle? Is me saying I don't know what happened? Right. Me saying that a miracle happened?
Okay. Just because you don't know how it happened doesn't mean
the question was: if I say I don't know what happened, does that mean I'm claiming that a miracle happened?
Well, where did the matter come from?
The question is: if I say I don't know what happened, does that mean I'm claiming that a miracle happened?
That's semantics.
Yeah, so the question is, if I don't know what happened, am I claiming that a miracle happened?
Well, you're not claiming it, but you're...
Precisely.
But it still had to happen in your worldview. You still had to have matter from nothing, life from non-life. It had to happen, whether you know how it happened or not. And if you don't know how it happened, how do you know God didn't do it?
Oh, what the heck?
Well, Eric, I think you went on mute.
Brian, you claim that science is observable, testable, repeatable.
That's what the National Science National Center for Education. I mean, that's our textbook. It says it's testable. That's what our textbook says, so that's what I'm going with.
Sure. Does the past fit any of those categories?
Does the past fit if it's testable?
Testable, observable, testable, repeatable. Does the past fit any of those categories?
Well, if somebody observed it, yeah.
I'm talking about us today.
Yeah, there's forensics people. They figure out what happened in the past. There's, you know, things like that. But the
so why do you say evolution isn't science if it does the same kind of thing forensics does?
Because there's a lot of imagination in the assumptions.
Same with forensics.
Yeah. But there's...
Okay, so why is one not science then? They both make assumptions. They both operate on what happened in the past based on assumptions. But they look for evidence that they formed from those assumptions. But one is science and one is not science. How does that work?
Well, it's because you're looking so far in the past. There's so much assuming going on there.
Being afraid of big numbers is not an argument. What's the actual argument?
What? If millions of years,
that's so long ago. Hand wave it away. That's the best you can do for dealing with your hypocrisy of forensics is science, but evolution isn't science, when they're both scientific investigations of the past predicated on assumptions.
Well, yeah, there's a murder yesterday and there's got fresh evidence, but then there's these bones in the dirt. I mean, there's a lot of time for things to get misinterpreted there. And it all goes to our assumptions. You know, if you believe in blind chance, you're going to think millions of years. And if you believe in creation, you might think of...
Where is the blind chance in the evolutionary perspective?
Where's the designer in the evolutionary perspective?
You should have asked that question when it was your turn. Where is the blind chance?
Random mutations.
How is that blind chance?
How is it not blind chance?
Brilliant. Do you know what natural selection is?
Yeah.
Okay. Describe natural selection.
It explains the survival of the fittest, but not the arrival of the fittest. It can't explain how something got there.
There's a population of organisms,
right,
and they all are a little bit different. What does natural selection do with that population?
Natural selection doesn't do anything. It's not a person. It's not anything.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't have a teleology. It's a description of a process.
Right.
I know that you know this, so just quit avoiding the question. There is a population of organisms and they have variation among them. A lot of that variation is caused by these unpredictable mutations. What does the natural selection process do as a consequence to the population?
Yeah, they're unpredictable, random mutations.
I didn't ask you about the mutations. I asked you about natural selection.
Well, the ones that were adapted would survive better than the ones that weren't.
So it's not blind luck and random chance. There's a selective process involved in the entire thing.
I really hope that you quit doing
this ridiculous straw man where you conflate that mutations happen in an unpredictable manner with the evolution by natural selection process, because they're not the same. You've just admitted they're not the same. So I really hope you start being honest in the future.
Selection needs something to select.
Yeah, random a population chance. Of organisms.
Right, but you needed random chance to get there. How did this life begin? Random chance.
That has nothing to do.
There's nothing to select. That's a random chance. That's a blind chance.
No, it's not.
It's not a blind chance that life evolved?
No.
Where's the natural selection can't select anything that's not reproducing. So to get to that part, you have to have some...
You do know that we have autocatalytic chemical cycles that undergo natural selection, right? No, there's no chance you know that. Are you aware that we have been able to create synthetic autocatalytic chemical cycles that actually compete with each other in the lab?
You can't make a cell membrane.
Brilliant. So you don't know anything about it. So we have seen that chemical systems can actually compete against each other, and they're autocatalytic, which means they perpetuate their own. They have like a cyclical nature, which is what life is.
Yeah, they're highly concentrated too. They're not like that in nature. Highly concentrated chemical. highly concentrated chemicals in nature.
Have you read any research on like hydrothermal vents and the like the way we've found the Krebs cycle and Krebs cycle what do you call it, precursors near hydrothermal vents, and we've discovered these autocatalytic systems both in nature and in the lab?
So no. get your $10 million, Eric.
Because we can't answer this one particular question, the whole thing is therefore false. Brian, I'll give you $1 billion if you can tell me how God did anything.
He spoke it into existence.
I didn't ask. That's a description of how he did it?
Yeah.
Explain. Explain how he spoke it into existence.
Well, I think it probably had to do with semantics.
So you think that God used sound waves?
Well, he said he spoke it into existence. That's what he said. I've got no reason to doubt him.
So God is a physical being that uses sound waves?
I'm not sure how he did it.
Okay, so you don't get your $1 billion then because you have no idea.
Well, I can't. Yeah, I his ways are way above my ways. Yeah, that's right. I'm not God.
Well, then quit calling it science. Can you name one scientific idea that's ever been disproven by Christianity? Or creation, I guess we can be more broad.
How about the geocentric universe? How'd that fall apart?
You're aware that it was Christians that were fighting. The Christians were the defenders of the geocentrism. Are you just not aware of that? They said, according to the Bible, because it says God made the sun stop moving for a day, that meant that it's the sun that's moving around the earth, not the other way around. That was their justification. They had a biblical justification for geocentrism.
Yeah, that's not how I heard it, but... Okay, so you want to know what a creationist, what science has that proven wrong?
Yeah, what scientific idea has creationism ever proven wrong?
I would say the idea of the superior race.
I mean, that was a fringe and unscientific view held by just pretty despicable people.
Well, yeah, but it had, you know, that's the logical conclusion.
It is not the logical conclusion. Okay, so luckily science proved genetically that all human beings are the same, because Christianity's perspective is that God created races differently for certain races to be slaves of other races.
No, that's there, not
that's
true.
That's the Christian perspective. Thank anything other than God. We don't have bullshit like that running around anymore. Thanks, science, for debunking the racism of Christianity. I think we're at the end of my time.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous straw man to mirror your position.
No, we're all of one blood. We all go back to Noah.
Not according to the Bible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
okay. Well, there were Christians that didn't think that way. So in the exact same way that you said, there were racist people who had false scientific sounding ideas, that means that that's what science was, and thankfully Christianity disproved it. I'll just flip that right back at you. Jefferson Davis, that's your guy, the racist that said that blacks were created to be the slaves of whites. That's the Christian perspective. Luckily, we now know, thanks to genetics, that that's not true. What kind of question is this? This seems to be the thing where people say, oh, but that's just an assumption. Literally, anytime you do anything, it doesn't have to be science. Literally, when you walk around your own house, you have to assume that your senses are giving you reliable information about what's going on in your house. Oh, maybe there's a tiger in the house, but you just can't see it for some reason. So what this guy's trying to do is to say that, oh, evolution is predicated on assumptions, therefore it's not science. This is so incredibly stupid. What we saw today was Brian agrees that forensics is science, even though it's the study of things that happened in the past. Evolution is not a different kind of science. It works according to the exact same principles.
Thank you, Planet. And Brian, floor is yours. Go ahead.
It is not the same, because forensics guys, they do not have to invent rescuing devices to make sure that they get the right answer.
where evolution is full of rescuing devices. It's what you imagine to be true, so you don't have to give up billions of years. And that would be the Oort cloud, never been observed. That would be, you know, how do we get the, that'd be the multiverse. And that would be the dark matter, dark energy, all these things that you have to imagine to be true, even the soft tissue. They're going to try to figure out now, how did that last so long instead of just changing the eight dates of the dinosaur? And also, you know, you had asked earlier that there was also geology points to 6,000 years too, because Russell Humphreys, he also accurately predicted the zircon rates, diffusion rates out of helium. And that came, he did that with a 6,000 year model too. So biology, geology, astronomy, they all point to 6,000 years. If you aren't trying to force it, make the these rescuing devices to justify your position.
Thank you, Brian. Eric, you get the last word. Question was for you. Go ahead.
We can see billions of light years. How does that point to 6,000 years? That was the most hilarious moment of the debate. Brian was reduced to absolute silence when asked to come up with an explanation for that. So no, nothing about cosmology points to 6,000 years. Geology, absolutely nothing about geology points to 6,000 years. Radiometric dating uncontrovertibly gives us dates of billions and billions of years. And then for, I don't remember even what the third thing that was said points to it, if it's biology or evolution or whatever, but literally none of that points to 6,000. What a ridiculous statement.
We don't have to have rescuing devices to explain comets or the magnetic fields. It all fits in a young Earth creation.
It doesn't.
It sure does.
How does it fit the existence of comets?
We're not 10,000 years old.
Explain.
How do you explain that they're there after billions of years?
Again, shift the burden of proof. So you can't do it for comets. Why can we see 43 billion light years? How is that consistent with 6,000 year creation timeline?
See, that's a distance. That's not a time. That's a distance.
Can light travel that many light years in 6,000 years?
I don't know what God can do with light.
So you don't have anything. All you do is retrofit your conclusion into the evidence.
You don't have anything either.
The only reason we know any of this stuff is because of science. The Bible never told us anything about the true structure of the cosmos, whether or not other galaxies exist, how big it is. It never did any of that. You retrofit your conclusion into the evidence, violating the spirit of science.
No, anyways, the Bible gives us the framework for biology. It's everything produces.
Talking about the size of the universe, Brian.
What?
Talking about the size of the universe, Brian, you don't have anything for that. You can't get 43 billion light years from 6,000 year creation, except to say, I believe in God and God did it that way.
Well, what you do is, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened. So you're an, I don't know of the gaps.
The Big Bang model is extremely rigorous and well tested.
Go into cosmology.org and you're going to see a bunch of people that say this doesn't work. They have to add. Because when Danny Faulkner when he was in college in the 80s, they had 100% confidence in the Big Bang, and it didn't have inflation or dark matter or dark energy or string theory, and they had to add that to keep it from falling apart. And now they have 100% confidence in the Big Bang today, and he says it's not a matter of if it falls apart, it's a matter of when it falls apart, and would have fallen apart a long time ago, but they don't have anything to replace it with. And that's what I think, the hydroplate will destroy the Big Bang. If anybody watches Kevin Lee's talk at Creation Forum, it destroys the Big Bang, because everything,
the hydroplate is a stupid flood narrative about geology that's going to disprove cosmology.
Hey, why is the near side of the moon pounded and the far side isn't? The moon or the Earth protects the near side. How come we got the lava flows on the near side and not the far side? Why is the Pacific Ocean so much different than the other ones? What caused the Mariana Trench?
You know, subduction from plate tectonics.
How did a mammoth freeze standing up? How come they find rounded boulders in asteroids?
And that tells us how old the universe is. A mammoth that was frozen.
Well, we can explain it. Can you?
No, you can't. You just say God did it. That's not an explanation.
Well, I'll explain it for you.
Go ahead. I mean,
yeah, because the founts of the Great Deep broke up with such tremendous force that some of the stuff went up into outer space.
What evidence of that do you have?
The standing frozen mammoth. We also have accurate predictions.
You think that comets falling to the Earth, you know, comets, you know that objects that re-enter Earth's atmosphere from space are going dozens of kilometers per second and explode when they hit the ground, right? But that's gonna freeze dry a mammoth.
Well, that's because they're coming in with such tremendous force. If they just go up there and then slowly come back, they're going to come down and they're going to freeze the mammoths. Okay,
you have evidence that that happened?
How about accurate predictions?
Do you accurate have predictions? Evidence that any of that happened?
Oh, yeah. Accurate predictions are evidence of a robust
theory.
Do you
have any evidence that comets slowly came down to the Earth?
I'm not talking comets. I'm talking the water that's found up from shot up from the fountains of the Great Deep.
Sure. Do you have any evidence of that?
Yeah, the Mid-Oceanic Ridge. What do you think caused the mountain range? What do you think caused the mountain range to grow in two directions by stretching? Most mountain ranges
are
crushed
together. It's not stretching.
Together.
Magma comes up to the surface and reforms, and it's a divergent plate boundary.
Look at the tension cracks. They're straight.
Look at the ages of the continent of the oceanic crust, and notice that it makes a perfect pattern going outward. When we mapped the ocean floor, we found all these mid-ocean ridges, and we call these divergent plate boundaries. And the idea is that over vast stretches of time, the continents have moved into their current positions. The continental puzzle works with that extremely well. The mid-ocean ridge works with that extremely well. Brian, I think what you need to reckon with is, why on earth is it that the radiometric dating of the ocean floor perfectly mirrors what you would expect? It's youngest at the mid-ocean ridge, and uniformly, in both ways, gets progressively older as you go away from it. That absolutely confirms the traditional secular narrative about plate tectonics being a long and drawn-out process. So that'll be it.
Oh, keep the picture up there if you would. If you want to keep your picture up.
Because, I can do that.
Yeah. Because that picture, they use that Astro Alexandra. She did a thing on what they found on Bennu, and she used that picture, and she said that serpentine comes when the mantle touches the water, and they found that in Bennu, and she's thinking there's got to be this big water planet that used to be floating around, and she's just a victim of our government education, because she won't even consider that the water planet is Earth. And so, yeah, she used that picture. And it validates the hydroplate, because how else does it get out there?
Brian, if you could, why on earth does the radiometric dating follow this precise pattern and give you dates of hundreds of millions of years?
Well, why on earth does radiometric dating tell us that Mount St. Helens lava is 340,000 to 2.8 million
years
old?
That's within the acceptable range of error.
Yeah, but it should be 10 years old. They took it from the lava.
You don't understand what a range of error means then.
Well, if that's your test, something that's 10 years old and it shows up as 340,000 to 2.8 million is acceptable to you?
Because that's the range of error. It's an inappropriate test. We've dated the volcanic ash at Pompeii, and we get the exact right number using different techniques.
They date them a whole lot other places and get the wild numbers, and we're supposed to expect...
Because there's a range of error.
Yeah.
If your measuring tool measures in increments of billions of years, and the error rate for that is 0.0001%, then that means the age can fluctuate by 125,000 years. So if you date something that formed yesterday, the range of answers you're going to get is going to be within 125,000 years. But that's not the appropriate way to do the dating technique. Because that's a process that is 99.9% accurate, because the error range is only 0.001%. Well, it's 0.001, not 0.001%. But that doesn't, like, I, if you can't see that, then I don't really know what to tell you. You just got to look at.
Well, one experiment is worth 1,000 expert opinions. So when they misdated that, so that means they could be wrong on the age of the Earth then. You know, they could be wrong on a lot of things.
No, there's a range of error, but things that measuring systems that work in increments of billions of years can have an error range of maybe a million years, and a million's a big number, but it's only 1/1,000th of a billion. So it's 99.99% accurate.
Yeah, I've got the ranges. I've got the data, and it fits within the range. I mean, the ranges aren't that big. I don't know if I can find it, but yeah, I might not be able to find it. But yeah, the range, it shouldn't, you know, 10-year-old lava. And so there, we're going to say that's millions of years old.
No,
also
the acceptable error range is going to be a big number because potassium 40 has a half-life of 1.25 billion years. So if it's 99.9% accurate, that means the fluctuations in the measure, the error range or whatever we call that within the measurement is going to give you these huge numbers. So something that formed yesterday can look like it's thousands of years old. You need a different and a proper dating technique for doing that. I'm just saying the same thing over and over again, but this just comes down to margin of error and inappropriately using the margin of error.
Yeah, I can't find that right now. Oh, no, I don't. I don't have that. But yeah, they misdated the KBS tuff that was 220 million years old, and then they found a skull on it. It's like, oh, we got to fix the date on that. And yeah, I've got this like Mount St. and Hawaii, they misdated that too. It came up to 1.6 million years, and it should only have been a couple hundred years, and the margin of error is 160,000. And they also did Mount Etna in Sicily, and that was 25,000 years. It shouldn't have been, and that was a 8,000-year range. And there was another ones that go on, but that's the detail part.
I mean, you're just cherry-picking studies because we've been able to cross-correlate radiometric dating with Vesuvius or Pompeii, and we get the correct date.
Well, so maybe you're successful. Maybe you're the one that's cherry-picking because I found the Mount St. Helens one. And the whole rock specimen was 350,000 years with a margin of error of 0.05 million years. And Feldspar was 340,000 years with a plus or minus of 6,000. And then the Amphibole was 900,000 and with a plus or minus of 200,000. And the Pyrex one was 1.7 million with a error of 300,000. And the Pyrex one, another one, was 2.8 million. With an error rate of 600,000. So they're way outside their error rates. So this experiment proved that
table doesn't say what you're saying.
Sure it does.
No, you're telling me how old it is. Because you don't have what the purported actual age of these things is up there anywhere. Like, do you still actually think, and are you going to keep saying that the Big Bang is when nothing turned into the universe? Because they think that's really uncharitable and not accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did the matter come from? It can't be.
We don't know, but we don't say that it came from nothing. So I had this same sentiment. I don't get why you say that. It's a really bizarre, cheap attack, I think.
Well, that's what Lawrence Krauss said. It came from nothing. The universe.
Have you read
his
book? Because he doesn't say that it's literally nothing.
Well, yeah, then it's not nothing. He changed the definition of nothing. And then before that, you had the guy in the wheelchair. He said the universe from gravity. You know, it's
gravity's
not
nothing.
Gravity.
Gravity's not nothing. So are you're going to continue saying that people like me believe that nothing turned into the universe, even though I'm sitting here telling you that we don't think that?
Well, what did turn into the universe then?
We don't know. That's not that's not the claim that it was nothing.
So you don't know if nothing turned into it, and you don't know if God did it. So you really can't.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah, but you're putting words into my mouth. Do you not see that?
Well, if you don't know how it happened, how do you know God didn't do it?
I don't know that. I'm agnostic, but you don't have evidence for it.
There we go.
But the question is, are you going to keep telling people that atheists believe nothing turned into something? Because that's just
Show me how I'm wrong.
I literally have told you several times.
No, you say you don't know how where it came from. Well, show me what it did come from. If it wasn't nothing,
I had to ask. We'll have to move on here. I think everybody gets it. I had to ask you three times that if I don't know, does that mean that I claim it came from nothing? And you refused to answer it. So I think you've kind of been caught here in that. But anyways.
Well, not knowing doesn't prove that it didn't come from nothing or that it didn't come from God.
That's not it. Saying I don't know isn't an endorsement. I can't say it any more clearly than that. So I really hope you stop strawmanning our position like that in the future.
Well, what is your position? What did the universe come from?
I've told you so many times, I don't know.
Okay, and that so includes, you don't know what happened.
And that includes that the universe came from anything. There's no logical problem with an eternal universe.
If you don't know that it didn't come from nothing, how can you say that I'm wrong?
You're putting words in my mouth, Brian.
Why should I stop saying it then, if you can't prove me wrong?
Why should you stop lying about what I believe? That's well, how is you're it a actually lie? Asking me that?
How is it a lie if you can't prove that it didn't come from
Brian,
nothing?
Brian, do I believe that the universe came from nothing?
Well, Lawrence Krauss does, but then he changed the
you
definition.
You are so incapable of engaging in good faith with this. Do I believe that?
Well, if I'm wrong, prove it. I don't know. It's not proof.
Do I believe that the universe came from nothing?
Apparently not.
Okay. So
but
then,
you don't know what it
then
did
it's
come from.
Wrong for you to go around saying that's what I believe because it's a lie and you're putting words into my mouth. That's the answer
well,
to your question.
You
why should
that.
I
it's
stop doing it? Why should Brian Lauer stop lying? I would hope that Brian Lauer doesn't want to be a liar. But if you're going to peddle this nonsense, then I guess maybe that's your only choice. And Lawrence Krauss doesn't believe it either. He wrote a clickbaity title book, and he said that it's not literally nothing. It could be gravity, which is what I mean
so
by nothing.
He's got these three flavors of nothing. He changes the meaning of a term. So nothing doesn't mean nothing. Talk about being underhanded. How about that?
Brian, Eric.
I was just going to say, it's a cheap marketing trick. Like,
well, yeah,
people are trying
it sure
to make
is.
Money.
It sure is. That's like when, yeah, I'll leave it at that.